You are listening to The Pulse, Rod Murray's e-learning tech podcast.
Number 187, Course Plan, interview with Maria Anderson. That short teaser was a piece from one of my favorite New Age piano pieces, Lines Build Walls by Aaron Starks. So stay tuned to the end of my podcast and I'll play the full song. I think you'll like it. Today's podcast episode is sponsored by D2L. You may know their main product, the Brightspace Learning Management System. I, of course, would only accept sponsorship from companies and products that I'm very fond of. So please check out their website
at d2l.com/pulsepodcast to learn more.
In the interest of full disclosure, my institution, the University of the Sciences, uses D2L Brightspace, and I've been very impressed with their technology. As always, I'm indebted to Inside Higher Ed for featuring the Pulse podcast. I also invite you to follow me on Twitter. My handle is RodsPods. As always, I post links to the things we talk about on my show notes website at www.rodspulsepodcast.com. For this podcast, I've interviewed Maria Anderson. Dr. Anderson is the CEO and founder of CourseTune, and I've interviewed her in the past for that product, but they've since launched a new product called Course Plan. So it's similar, but it's geared for individual faculty members to design their own courses using the extensive visual tools provided by CourseTune. So we discuss the background of CourseTune and how Course Plan is different layers to a course design, what are students learning and when do they learn it, aligning learning and assessment activities to the learning objectives, visualizing the entire course at once, and I think this is one of the key components of their products. Support for the HyFlex course delivery, accounting for student load and time on task, LMS integrations, and their future directions. And we also talk a bit about contingencies for teaching this fall during the pandemic. So without further ado, here is my interview with Dr. Maria Anderson. Maria, thank you so much for talking to me today about your new software. It's been almost 2 years since we talked. So what's been going on the last 2 years?
Well, we've continued to grow CourseTune and have many more schools as clients now, helping a lot of institutions with managing their curriculum design and their new projects, their new program designs and accreditation needs. This summer, we decided that we really wanted to do something to help all of the professors and teachers out there who are really struggling to make sense of how they navigate the COVID-19 crisis, and especially with all the uncertainty around teaching. And it seems to me that the best way to be able to face the uncertainty is to have a really solid understanding of what's actually in your curriculum in the first place. And so to have like a blueprint underneath what you're doing, that really indicates to you what you want the students to learn, where you want to be doing assessments, what kind of depth you want those assessments at, what you want to do for the learning activities in the class. That these, if you have a plan for this, it's actually quite simple to pivot. If you have no plan in place, if it's kind of just an amorphous bucket and everything lives in the bucket and you carry the bucket with you to class, you know, when you teach in person, the bucket is, of course, you. You are carrying, you know, all your knowledge with you to class. Without anything kind of mapped out on paper, it's very difficult to just suddenly shift into online or hybrid or remote or anything else, because you can no longer really rely on your memory and spontaneity to carry you through anymore.
Sure. Now, for folks that are familiar with CourseTune, some of those things you're talking about seem to be in CourseTune already. So how does CoursePlan differ? Is there a different audience? What are the major differences in those two products?
Yeah, CourseTune is enterprise software, and so we typically sell to an institution, and the institution adopts the software for wider use. So CourseTune allows you to not only design courses, but programs and map institutional outcomes across programs, map to career outcomes, and things like that. So it's a much broader software. There's role definition at every level. Course plan we designed for individual users. And so you can build up to 8 courses in it. You can map all of your learning and assessment activities. You can map your learning objectives into your course objectives and your delivery plan. But it does not, you know, have the program layers and role definitions and multi-user aspects and continuous improvement aspects that we have with the course-tuned software. So it's really something we designed for individual users. We wanted to have a very affordable plan for an individual user who has, you know, suddenly realized they need to have a plan, a blueprint for their learning design. And we know that, you know, as an individual user, it sometimes takes years to influence an institution to adopt something. And so we really want to be able to hand it to folks who were ready, who have reached the point where they're ready to do some good quality design. And we know that we have tools that make that really easy to understand, really easy to visualize, really easy to see the big picture in your courses. And so we kind of went into the software and dug out, you know, the features that we thought would be most useful to single users at an institution or at a school in K-12, and made that available for direct to product.
I was wondering about your audience. So you mentioned K-12. It's most, I imagine, higher ed is your biggest audience, or is it K-12?
Yeah. I think higher ed is our biggest audience. I think teachers have always been trained as part of their education to do things like lesson plans and curriculum and work off the state, you know, curriculum plans and standards that they're given. Whereas professors have traditionally not gotten that kind of education in how to architect curriculum. And one of the things that we find from the folks who use CourseTune is that faculty who use CourseTune will often say, wow, this is the first time I've ever understood curriculum design and why I need to know what students are supposed to be learning in the class and how I assess those things and where, how everything kind of fits together into a bigger plan. And so the software's visualizations really are designed to help you learn how to do curriculum design through nothing other than, you know, sitting down to work on your own course.
Mm-hmm. Does it, in essence, try to replace an instructional designer, which typically, I guess, in higher ed is, if we have enough of them to go around, they normally help faculty build their courses?
Well, I think what we know right now is that there are not enough instructional designers to go around. We have, you know, community colleges with maybe one instructional designer for the entire campus. And so clearly that person is not able to help every instructor design their course. And instructional designers are often, unfortunately, mired down in teaching faculty the technologies that go with courses, not the design aspect of courses. So I do think using CoursePlan can really help, you know, the faculty who are struggling to make a solid architecture for their courses. And the beauty of having that solid architecture done is that, you know, we liken it to building a house. We probably talked about this 2 years ago, but I'll just repeat it again. When you go to, you know, you buy a plot of land and you say, I'm going to build my dream house on this. You don't just hire a builder and have them show up and start building something. You first go to an architect and you make a set of plans for the house, and you make sure that all the stakeholders involved, your partner, your kids, you know, your dog, you make sure everybody's happy with the designs before you start the building process, right? And this is essentially a step that's kind of skipped over in a lot of places, because when we teach face-to-face, we kind of rely on the instructor to be both the architect and the builder. But then when you go to build something online, you build in the LMS, and it's almost impossible to hold a design for an entire course in your head in a meaningful way. And even if you manage it for one semester, you won't remember what you designed into it the next semester. And so then things quickly start to fall apart, and you start to see assessments become uncoupled from the learning activities over time. And you can't remember where you taught something in videos. And so they end up in the wrong places as you re-architect the course. So if you go through the work of planning the course out first, you'll find it's much easier to then go to the LMS and design it. And the LMS, so, you know, something like Canvas or Blackboard or Moodle or D2L Brightspace, you can't ever see the entire course at once. I don't know if you've ever given this any thought, but there is no place in a learning management system where you can, in one image, see the entire course.
Good point. Yeah.
And you can in course plan. So you can, in one glance, see the complexity of the course, where the learning and assessment activities fall, how the units are structured, how the course objectives are structured. And so that plan, you can actually kind of get that blueprint for your course, make sure that you like how it all is designed, and then move over to the LMS. And as you build each of those pieces in the LMS, you can keep referencing your blueprint to make sure that what you're building is what you planned to build. And so that gives you a very easy way to then shift something, because you can look at your plan and say, oh, okay, we just went from, you know, face-to-face to online. Which of my learning and assessment activities are affected by this? What can I easily shift those into? It also helps us to do more variable assessment, which I think is actually quite a large equity issue in education. When we do a variety of assessments for students, like, for example, you know, traditional education is like, oh, well, especially in like the STEM fields, we'll give a test, we'll give several tests. You know, that's how we assess. And, but a more variety of assessment would say, no, actually, I'm going to have a couple of problem sets. I'm going to have a project. I'm maybe going to have you do a presentation. I might still have, you know, two tests, but not, you know, five tests. And maybe some of that test will be an oral component as well as a written component, right? When you introduce that variety of assessment to the learning experience, you are serving more students in the class. You're giving more students an opportunity to show you what they know instead of specifically going after what they don't know or assessing them in a format that they have not had years to learn. Students who are well off and come from, you know, suburban communities with parents who both went to college are more likely to teach their kids how to take tests. And school systems that don't have that kind of funding, the students are at a disadvantage when they get to college, and what they face are, you know, lots of, you know, tests and multiple choice tests and things like that. And then, you know, some people are have just never been good at taking tests, and we need to use a variety of assessments. So knowing your whole plan allows you to have a greater variety of assessment, and then just swap out small activities where you need to when you need to make a shift to the modality. And that's all easy to see with a plan behind you.
Yeah, you know, I remember when I was looking at Course Tune and we talked about it, your visual representations are very good. I tend to be a visual learner. So I really like that, being able to see sort of a bird's eye view. And I remember one of the key features, I believe, in Course Tune is ability to, when the next, you know, term comes around, it helps you capture things that, you know, helps remind you, I guess, of what needs to be fixed or what's missing, especially, I guess, when you're working in a tune, in a team, I should say. Does course plan have enable an individual faculty to help essentially tune their course for the next time around as well? Does it help them to maybe make updates during the year to notate things that could be done differently?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, so you have your plan and you build your course, right? And then over the year, as you realize you do want to make changes, you can leave those notes in your plan. I think over time we'll add some more robust features around this to course plan to make it a lot easier to do that on the fly. But certainly you can continue to fine tune your plan for the next time around. As you're going through the year, it is actually quite funny. Like, most of us have these realizations during the semester as we teach that, you know, like, oh, that didn't go as well as I thought it should have. Maybe I need to change the problem or alter this activity, or maybe I'm just going to cut this one out altogether. But it never fails that the next time you go to teach the class, you can't remember all of those insights you had, you know, the term. And so if you'd only had some place to put those, you would have a better plan the next time around. I think, in course tune, the way we do that is we have a feature that allows you to have conversations about different items in the plan and then turn those conversations into tasks so that the tasks can sit there and build up on a course until it's the next time to, issue it. And then the instructional designer or the faculty member, whoever, the course coordinator, whoever's in charge of that online course can go in and make all the changes that ended up on the course's task list.
Right. As the pandemic came upon us this spring, and our school, like many, threw their faculty into, I guess, what we started calling, emergency, remote teaching using Zoom. And, these are faculty that have been used to teaching in front of a whiteboard and lecturing, and many of them just, not only did they not understand the technology well, they never really had to think in terms of, a more hybrid type of course and how to do a really good asynchronous or hybrid course online. I've been hearing more about the term called HyFlex, and I noticed it on your website. What is HyFlex, and how does your course plan help to guide faculty using that modality?
So HyFlex is, I believe, the way the term was coined, this idea that you allow students to either attend the class online or face-to-face, even though they've signed up for the same section. And so some, or a combination of both, that it doesn't matter how the student is attending the course, the workflow is roughly the same. And this is actually a way I taught courses years ago when I taught Calc 1 and 2 online. I would actually have students register for either a face-to-face or an online section, but practically speaking, they were mixed together in the LMS, and they could actually move in and out of it however they wanted. They took the same exams, they had access to the same videos, they had access to the same activities, the same discussion boards, right? And so, those classes even 10 years ago were architected off of a plan for, what are the learning objectives I'm planning to cover? How am I covering those in terms of how am I delivering the learning to them? What are they doing that's active around those learning objectives to facilitate the learning? And then how are we assessing those learning objectives? And even 10 years ago, 15 years ago, maybe, like thinking back, how long ago was that actually, Rod? if you have a good architecture, you can design activities that work in any modality. So I would say, I think that's technically how it's been, this latest incarnation has been coined. But the truth is that with good course design, that was already built to serve the maximum number of students with the most equity you can give them, it already is able to flex in and out of situations. So, for example, in the spring of this year, 2020, I was teaching two classes, math for elementary teachers and teaching with technology. And in both classes, we regularly brought students to class remotely if they could not attend that day, because we're in Utah and we have snow day. We have days where the snow is deep. And I had some days I needed to be out of town for conferences or business meetings. And so whenever I have to leave town, I still hold class at exactly the same time and day. I just do it remotely from wherever I'm at. I schedule my meetings and my conference events around the classes I know I have to teach. So the students were already very used to, either I was remote or one of them was remote. If a student or two was remote on a day of class, we would just have somebody in class log into a computer and that student could work in their group with them. So they got very used to being at a table with, one other student and a computer they were talking to, right? And I even had cases where when I was out of town, the class would still gather in the classroom, pull me up on the projector, and I would teach them and facilitate groups activities with manipulatives and stuff from, another state. So all of their assignments were already being submitted digitally, because that allowed me to get them even if I was out of town, and allowed them to turn them in even if they couldn't make it to campus. So they were already used to turning in all their assignments digitally. They were already used to a student coming in remote or the whole class being remote for the day. And those were classes where absolutely nothing changed when we went into emergency remote teaching mode. They experienced no difference, right?
How about that?
Having that plan in place and having already thought through, you know, what are the variety of ways I can assess? How deeply do I need to assess things? What are the variety of ways they can learn? What are the variety of ways I can facilitate activities, whether I am here in person or away from them physically, gave me already that flexibility needed to deal with anything unexpected. And so that's, you know, the way I'm approaching this fall semester is, again, if you are already taking into account, we already had students who couldn't make it to campus sometimes. We already had days when we left to go somewhere or we should have stayed home sick, where we could have taught remotely, right? This was all already part of our landscape. And if you had decided to pay attention to it and help all of your students by making it, by making the learning and assessment available to all of them, regardless of the circumstance, there was no change.
Well, you know, that's so you're well positioned then to know how to do this in this new environment we have, because as you know, schools like ours and all really across the country are trying to decide what's going to happen this fall. And, you know, they have to all these contingency plans. And it seems like where you are is not going to be an issue because you're already doing it. But I'll tell you, that's certainly a different experience than, you know, in a metropolitan area like ours in Philadelphia. And you know, the bulk of our campus is, you know, face to face. And there's so many issues around the pandemic you know, I know there were planning contingencies, but, I think our instructional designers are going to be tested to the limit because, you know, faculty are being encouraged to build out their content in our LMS, which so happens to be new this year. We moved from Blackboard to D12 Brightspace. So this is going to be a tough year for our faculty. Now we've been, you know, trying to train them all along, but, you know, we even have some 10-month faculty that, you know, are coming back in August and to a whole new environment. So it's going to be an interesting term, to say the least.
Well, I think the one thing to remember is, you know, these classes I'm referring to, this was actually a residential campus. I teach at Westminster College in Salt Lake, and it's a liberal arts campus where the students are residential, and these are face-to-face classes, right? I just chose to let them have the option to attend remotely if they needed to.
Yeah, how common was that? Were you the only one or a small group of faculty?
I'm guessing I wasn't the only one, but I was probably pretty close. I had to learn to make these kinds of adjustments because I have a business to run and I need to be able to leave town for it. And so, you know, I had an agreement with the departments that I worked for that, you know, I was happy to teach the classes face to face, but I needed them to give me a little flexibility around sometimes needing to teach them remotely. And so that turned out to be, you know, really valuable for the students because they actually said the first day we got back together after the crisis kind of hit us right around spring break. The first day we got back together online, one of them said, this was actually the only class I was not worried about. I figured everything would be exactly the same as it already was. and they were right. And so I guess I'm actually really excited for higher education because I think there's so many things that faculty are now learning that will actually help more students in the long run. Just the ability to run a remote meeting to, you know, even if we go back to teaching face-to-face in 2022, let's be a little pessimistic about this one, in 2022, you know, that they will have learned how to bring a student in who can't be there. And that when students are sick, we can actually tell them to stay home and attend remotely, where when you're sick, you can teach your class remotely and not get other people sick. Like, I think we're learning all sorts of techniques that can really be helpful. And the incredible creativity that people are having to now come up with further assessments, right? Where a lot of professors are having to abandon their standard tried and true assessment measures, which maybe were not the best assessment measures anyways to serve all the students we teach and all the varieties of learners we have. And so I'm actually kind of excited for higher ed. I think this is...
Well, you're optimistic. I like that.
Yeah, I think on the other side, we're going to come out okay. I'm not going to claim it's not going to be a rough couple of years here, but where we land, say in 2022, is going to be a decade ahead of where we would have landed without this.
That's right. Here at my institution, we just launched a series of brand new, totally online asynchronous programs in this past January. And I know one of the issues that we often struggle with is to addressing the student load, you know, and the estimating the time on task. Is that something that course plan takes into account to some sort of a calculator to gauge how much time it's going to take students to complete the coursework?
So actually, every time you add an activity in CourseTune, so we have learning activities and assessment activities. So after you build the core of your course with the learning objectives, make sure they align with your course objectives, things like that, you go in and start adding the activities. And so with every activity you add, the first thing you have to do is tie it to learning objectives of the course. So you can't just say like, I'm just going to have a discussion every week. Well, if you're going to have a discussion every week, you should be trying to help the student to learn something that they're supposed to learn, right? So it shouldn't just be a discussion for the sake of having a discussion. It should be a discussion oriented around something you are actually trying to teach. So so when you add an activity, you first choose the learning objectives for it. And then you have a screen where you can add all sorts of properties to the activity. So you can track things like, are these passive or active activity? Is the grading low stakes, high stakes, participation? And of course, the time that you expect this to take for the average student. If you would like to assign points to the activity that are going to go into a syllabus, you can do that. So as you design the course, you can keep kind of checking in with the report, the activity report for the course, and see like how many hours am I up to, how many points am I up to, what percentage of those is high stakes grading versus low stakes grading. You know, so you can look at the weight of things by points, by time, and that all, you know, stays, the data all stays, you know, up to date as you're building. So it's a really nice way to, you know, you can essentially generate whole portions of your syllabus, you know, right out of course plan.
Right. You know, this is a relatively new product, correct? When did you launch it?
Course plan we launched on June 11th.
Okay. So it's very new. So I'm wondering how this is going to work since you're really directing this directly to individual faculty members. I think that's an excellent idea because it's some way to, in some sense, get your foot in the door at an institution which may not have course tuned. So is that your goal to, get some faculty advocates for course plan and have it spread? So then, because you would want to theoretically or ideally, you want the department or the particular program to all be on the same plan, the same page, so to speak. Yeah. And then you would direct them to maybe the course tune version. Is that your plan?
Yeah. I mean, so I think it's, you know, we've often had people ask us like, who is the typical course tune, you know, institution or the course tune buyer? And there is actually only one common thread between our typical institutions, which are not typical at all. And that is that the institution has started to care deeply about the quality of their course and program design. And so we are essentially looking to find those people out at individual institutions now who have either already are or are suddenly becoming the ones who care about the quality of their course design. And it naturally leads to, well, if you start to care about the quality of your course design, then you start to see that it would make sense to care about the quality of the degree program design, right? And so we feel like these folks, I mean, they already exist at some institutions, and we've been sad to have to turn away some folks that their institution, you know, wasn't ready for course tune yet. And so we had nothing we could give them that would be a product that those individuals could still use. And now we have that, right? What I noticed about, we decided very quickly to launch this product. We turned it around in under a month from start to finish. It was a very busy month, I'm not going to lie to you. I literally woke up at 1 o'clock in the morning, one morning, like, and just could not go back to sleep, and, you know, got up to talk to our engineering team, which is overseas. And I just thought, you know, what I'm seeing as I work with faculty at institutions across the country is a sudden interest in actually understanding how curriculum design is done, because these faculty are trying to imagine their entire course at once now, because they're imagining their entire course in an asynchronous format or in a hybrid format or in a remote teaching format. And they can't just show up and, you know, base it off their ability to kind of wing it when they teach the materials and assess the materials. And so, you know, I had been seeing for, you know, a month or two, just faculty showing more and more interest in actually designing the curriculum. And so when I woke up that one morning, I just thought, you know what, we have an opportunity right here that if we had a direct to faculty product that could be used, these folks who want to do that work would have something to do it in. And, you know, we have all the technology, we had it all built for CourseTune. We just needed to find a way to separate out the parts that an individual user would need and, you know, figure out how to let them, you know, purchase it, auto-provision it, you know, like all the things that we don't need to do for a large enterprise product. We had to figure out all of those things rather quickly, sales tax and, you know, all that stuff. But we really wanted to be there for anybody who was ready to be there, right? If anybody who was thinking, this is the time I need to actually know how I'm designing things. I want to actually think about whether there's too much content in this course right now. Like, this is the time, like, when you're doing a really complex redesign of a course anyways, that is the right time to think about whether or not there's too much in a course or whether or not there should be teaching in a course. And course plan gives you all the tools to do that analysis, right?
So let me ask you this. When you're putting together your plan now, I can imagine as a faculty member, okay, then I'm talking about this particular objective and I say, okay, I have this recorded bit over here, or I have a document over here. Does your product help them to actually gather the actual content, the assets, or that's totally separate?
We do give you places to put those if you have some you'd like to attach to your activities. So if you're using it as a design tool to start with, you can absolutely go into any activity you've built, and there is an assets panel where you can, like, you know, let's say that, you know, over the next 4 weeks, Rod, you've got a design built-in course plan and you're finding materials like, you know, clever videos and activity websites that you want to incorporate into the plan. You can go into the activities that are most appropriate for those and attach the assets there.
Okay, perfect.
So that when you go again you go to the job site and you're ready to build, you go to your LMS and you're ready to build, you can just keep opening up your plan, your activities and whatnot, and everything that you've found is gathered there, right?
Okay, you know, this brings up the last question I really have for you is, wouldn't the next step be to have some automatic integration so that they just click a button and it automatically populates their latest course shell in their LMS?
You know, we are definitely thinking along the same page. So with CourseTune, we do have some of those things built. We have integrations that can be done with Canvas, D2Ls, Brightspace, Blackboard, and Moodle. The level of integration varies from platform to platform. we do have like an automatic course push built for Canvas, where if you've just built a new course in CoursePlan, or sorry, in CourseTune, you can, with the integration in place, you know, press a button and have it build a shell for you in Canvas that has all of the learning objectives in the right place and all of the modules built toward you and things like that. To do it in sync is a little harder, right? So if the course was already built and we have to sync to it, there aren't actually fields in some of the learning management systems to hold some of the details that we have. So there's not a field in the learning management system, for example, to hold how much time are you planning to have this activity take. There's not a field that holds the learning objectives. There's not a field to hold the modality, right? Like, so some of what we have a lot more information about the design of the course than the learning management system has. And so that makes it a little harder to keep things in sync. And so one of the things that we've built is a way to just integrate with the editors. So when you press the CourseTune button within the editor, you can see your structures in CourseTune and say like, oh, okay, like I actually want to pull over the new learning objectives for this and delete all the ones that are here, things like that. Because, you know, a lot of this information is just sitting on pages, and it's not that easy to keep something in sync when it's sitting on a page and it can easily be edited by anybody with access to the course. So we're working. Like in a perfect world, Rod, I would wave a magic wand, get all the things I need in every LMS, and we would absolutely keep it in sync with the LMS, and we'd be able to send all the learning objectives to the assessments. And like in a perfect world, it would be a very, very smooth integration between CourseTune and the LMS. CourseTune is the natural step before the LMS.
Another route you could go, I'm sure you've thought of this too, is why not be an LMS?
I'm not going to say that it hasn't crossed our minds too.
Well, listen, with that, I think I'm going to bring this to a close. I want to be respectful for your time and my listeners' time. This is fascinating. It sounds like you certainly have a niche that I don't know that there's any competition. Maybe there is out there, but it's something that's really worth looking into. I wish we had it back when we were designing some of our courses. I think this sounds like a great product, and the fact that you can get your feet wet in it, getting a course plan for an individual faculty member to test it out, I think is a great way to do it. So I thought this was great. Thank you so much. I appreciate your time, and best luck with your launching your course plan product.
Thanks, Rod.
Well, that's it for today. CoursePlan and the parent CourseTune look to be very unique in designing the curriculum in a very visual way. Please check it out and stay tuned for the new age piano Lines Build Walls. Until next time, have a great week.
that's it for today's episode. Thank you very much for listening. Don't forget to give Rod feedback. You can leave comments on his blog or send email to rod@rodspulsepodcast.com. The preceding audio commentary is the product of the author, Dr. Rodney Murray, and does not represent the official viewpoint of the University of the Sciences or any other institution or company.